All right, good morning. How are we? Good, good. I hope you're doing well. My name's Ted. I serve primarily as the college director here at Vintage. If you're new, hey, welcome. I'm glad you're here. If you're new, or maybe if you've been with us for some time, I want to invite you to take a step to join us in this family that we call Vintage. If you've yet to take a step, I'd like to point out that there's connect cards in the pew in front of you. This is a way of you to take a step towards us so that we can take a step towards you so that we can grow as a family together. There's also event cards for the month of December that are in the pew in front of you. I'd love for you to check those out and join us in what we're doing here in our family. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10 today. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you, there's Bibles in the pew in front of you. We've made it convenient and easy. There's a bookmark right there ready for you to follow along. I'm really excited to jump into this passage today, but before we do, let me pray for us. God, thanks so much that you've provided us this time and this place to hear from you. God, I hope and pray that we would do more than just hearing this morning, but that we would actually listen to your words. God, would you give us ears to listen to you and hearts to receive you? I know that for some of us this week, was tough with the start of the holiday season and with whatever may have happened or poor past experiences. I pray that in this place we would be able to find this as a restful time, a time where we can know that by faith you look at us and you just tell us that you love us. God, we love you. And it's your name that we pray. Amen. So have you ever had a time in your life where you just realized that your priorities were kind of out of order? They were mixed up. Maybe you were going just about your everyday business and you kind of just had to stop because you realized that you weren't putting first things first. You've got things that you really value in your life, but you weren't really spending time on those things or with those people. If you've been around me, you've heard me tell this story before, probably. A few years ago, my wife and I went over to a friend's house to play human-sized foosball. As you would imagine, it wasn't like a small foosball table, but it was a human-sized foosball where we had plywood barriers and we had pool noodles as the little metal rods that we held onto to go side to side. It's awesome. And during that game, I was playing goalie, and I went to the side to block the ball, and I felt this little twinge or pull in my neck. And I didn't really think that much of it. But at the end of the game, I guess because it had worn me out, I decided to lay down on my friend's couch inside their house. And when my wife came and found me, I tried to get up, but I couldn't raise myself up the normal way. I had to, like, roll over and use my back to pull myself up off the couch. And over the next year and a half, my mobility, my physical activity was just so severely limited. So I did whatever I could. I mean, I was online, scrolling on my phone, trying to find the best exercises, stretches, anything that I could do to get, you know, to be able to turn my neck the right way. And finally, one day, my wife, who's really gracious and loving, she came up to me and she pointed out, well, here's what she said. She said, "Ted, you realize that you've been looking at pictures and videos of dudes stretching more than you've been doing exercises yourself." I wasn't putting first thing first, right? The valuable thing for me to do would have been to actually do the exercises myself, not look at people, other dudes, pictures of them stretching, right? Like, the valuable thing, first things first, would have been for me to do those things myself. I'm guessing you've had a time in your life, too, where you've realized, man, my priorities are mixed up. I mean, maybe last week you were at your grandmother's house watching football. 15 of your closest family members are all together. You value your family, right? And you hear your uncle say, "Man, the Wi-Fi here is just so slow." And you looked up from your phone and you realized, oh, all my family members are on a device right now. Like, we're all just scrolling. You value your family, but you were all just looking at other people instead of looking and talking to each other. Getting our priorities mixed up, not putting first things first. This is common in everyday life, but it's also something that happens to us when it comes to following Jesus. We falsely start to think that following Jesus is more about what we do or don't do, rather than first being a relationship about a relationship with Him, rather than at first being about what He's made us to be. When I'm talking about first things first here, I'm not talking about like putting things in a sequence so that we can check them off. I'm talking about identifying the most valuable thing so that we can anchor and orient our life around it. The really, thing we can be thankful for today is that Jesus knew that we would do this. He knew that we would get our priorities mixed up. And so He gives us specific examples encouraging us to put first things first, to prioritize His word. That's what we're talking about today. Day to day, planning our life on time spent with Jesus. Now let's look at the text together. It's a short passage, so I want to read it again so that we are really familiar with the scene and what's going on. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" So we see three characters in this passage. There's Mary, who doesn't have a speaking part. There's Martha, and there's Jesus, who do have speaking roles. And if you're familiar in other parts of Scripture, we know that after this event, Jesus develops a really close relationship with Mary and her sister Martha and their brother Lazarus, a really close, intimate friendship. And in this moment, Jesus is coming over, and Martha just swings the door wide open. I mean, she's ready and excited to host Him, to welcome Him in. She loves hospitality. She loves serving others. And serving others is a good thing, but it's also something that can become bad. That's where many of us find ourselves. It's not necessarily the bad things that we struggle with. It's that we take good things and make them into bad things. We would expect that both Martha and her sister Mary would just normally divide up the responsibilities in the house. I mean, especially when somebody was coming over, they would divide up who would do what, just like you would do if someone was coming over to your house for a party, right? If you came over to my house later today for dinner or for a fire in the backyard or something, my wife have the X's and O's of what she does and what I do, right? I get the firewood, I get the fire lit, she gets the refreshments, she gets the music ready, and then when you come inside, I stand in a very specific way so that you look at me and you don't notice that our windows in our living room are not aligned with each other. They're like a foot off, and it's really weird, and we think it's awkward. So I stand somewhere to where you're looking at me and not at those windows. When someone enters your space, you want things to be nice, right? You prioritize what's valuable to you when someone comes over because you want them to be welcomed. Martha wants to be hospitable. I mean, she's probably ecstatic that Jesus is coming over because it seems like that she's already a follower of God in this passage. How do we know that? Look back at the text. Verse 40, Martha refers to Jesus as Lord. So her and her sister and her brother, they've probably already heard the gospel and believe. Probably, if you look earlier in chapter 10, or like left on your page in the Bible, earlier in chapter 10, Jesus sends out 72 folks to go and preach and share the gospel with others. So it makes sense that Martha is just ecstatic and ready to serve, to open up her home. Jesus, God, is coming over. She wants to serve him well. But what ends up happening? Look back at the first part of verse 40. It says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. She ends up distracted and having a terrible attitude. She acts like a fool because she gets her priorities mixed up. Now, I don't know if you've tried to host a party or, you know, just attend one by being in a bad mood. But usually those are the ones where I, like, show up for 10 minutes and then I just leave because it just doesn't go well, right? And notice, this word distracted, it doesn't mean that she's overloaded or overwhelmed because there's just so much work to do. It means that she's made it more than it really is. She's made the task more than it needed to be. She wants to do something special for Jesus. She wants to do so much so that she can't do what her sister's doing, which is sitting and listening. She's created her own expectations of what it looks like to follow Jesus. It's all become about her. And Jesus, he's not expecting so much to be done for him in this moment. He's expecting her to just sit. She's put this on herself. Think about this. She's already a follower, so she probably wants to hear from Jesus, right? But she's in and out of the kitchen. She's probably catching tidbits of what he's saying and thinking, oh man, that was so good. I got to tweet that later. But then going back into the kitchen, you know, she's banging pots and pans around because she's growing more and more frustrated with her sister. She's probably entering into the living room, sighing, hoping her sister is like, oh, she's mad at me. But Mary's just engaged. Martha's ticked off because Mary left her alone while she's serving. Martha asked Jesus, verse 40, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? And Martha's so mad, she actually bosses Jesus around a little bit. It's wild. She says to God, go tell my sister to help me. I mean, she doesn't even go to her sister first. She goes to Jesus and complains about her sister. Martha, distracted and disgruntled. Now let's look at Mary. In verse 39, it says she, that's Martha, had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. She's just sitting and listening. I think it's important to point out here that in this time in Jewish culture, it was not customary at all. It was unacceptable for a woman to sit at a rabbi's feet. Rarely would you see men and women interacting at all, only in a few places in the privacy of their own home even would men and women interact with each other. But in order to listen to Jesus, Mary disregards that custom and that tradition. She sits at his feet in a place of undivided, devoted attention. And Jesus, he disregards this non-biblical, regressive custom too, so that she can sit and listen at his feet. She's sitting and listening because she knows that Jesus is worthy of her life. It says she listened to his teaching. I'm willing to bet that almost all of us, at some point in our lives, we've been a student. Elementary school, middle, high, college, at some point in your life, you've been a student. And when you were a student, you realized that there was a big difference between just hearing something audibly and actually listening. You know, it's kind of like the scene in Charlie Brown where all the kids are sitting at their desks and the teacher starts talking and it just sounds like, womp, 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 right? And then they're just, you know, they're not listening. They're just hearing what's going on. And I think for many of you today, maybe right now, but probably in other instances, maybe growing up in church or all the other times that you've been in an instance where someone's talking about Jesus, you've heard, but you've never really listened to what Jesus is wanting to tell you. This isn't what's going on for Mary. She's attentive and she's engaged. And even though her sister's in the background, you know, slamming pots down and sighing and grunting, she's hanging on every word because she knows who Jesus is and adores him. And I think this brings up a great question for us. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, do we prioritize sitting and listening to God? Do you have a time and a place where you seek him? Is there a moment, like in your car, before work, where you seek him in private? I'm not talking about like reading articles or podcasting or reading Christian books, but I'm talking about picking up the Word, picking up the Bible, chewing on Scripture and really digesting it. Do you love his Word being preached? Not do you love hearing a certain speaker, but when his Word is being preached, do you love it? We've got to put first things first. Let's be clear here, right? The point here is not that we're supposed to be like Mary. We're not supposed to be a church of all Marys, just silent and in solitude and, you know, going off to a monastery. We're not living lives that are silent. Following Jesus doesn't lead to simply a life of quietness. Martha's not the bad person here. She loves Jesus. She calls him Lord, but she's missing the point. Her priorities are wrong. The issue here is that her heart is misdirected. How do we know that? Because Jesus doesn't correct her actions. He corrects her attitude. She starts to become driven by performing for Christ rather than by being with him. First things first. The priority for a follower of Christ is hearing and listening to the Word of God, to listen to Jesus, and from that, be changed by his Word and respond to it. It's his Word that fuels our desire to go and advance and to tell others about how good he is. It's not us needing to be approved of. The problem is, for Martha and for some of us today, that she's got a busy heart. She's pulled in so many different directions that she misses out on listening to the words of Jesus when he's sitting in the middle of her house. I mean, think about that for a moment. I mean, if LeBron or Beyonce or Jimmy Fallon came over to your house, you'd be like, what do you want to drink? I'll go get anything you need. Sit right here, most comfortable chair, and you would just stare at them. Right? You'd like to think that you would ask them a bunch of questions and stuff, but you would just be like, this isn't LeBron, right? This is Jesus, God, the King of Kings, sitting in the middle of her house, and she is pulled and distracted by preparing a meal. And that's the problem that we have today, that hearts fall more in love with things that aren't Jesus. We even can take things that are good, like serving, and make it into a bad thing. She gets her priorities mixed up, so she starts to have a bad attitude. There's no joy in her serving anymore. The thing that she's good at, it could bring her joy, but not when her priorities are mixed up. So things start to turn sour. She gets frustrated. So the next question for us is, what's distracting you? Is there something in your life that is pulling you away from prioritizing the Word of God? I don't know what it might be for you, but I'm willing to bet that actually you probably already know what it is. You already know the things that you're prioritizing above listening to Jesus. But I think that if you need a little bit of help, you know, there's an app on your phone where you can track the types of apps you use, how much you're picking up your phone. There's really easy ways to calendar and look back at how you spend your time. There's really easy ways to look back at how you spent your money. I mean, those things are going to give you a pretty good idea of what you prioritize in your life. But I think some of us in here were probably not even ready to even try to put first things first or to look at God's word. You're in here wondering if Jesus really even cares. You know, if he came over to your house today, you would say something. You'd look at him and you say, do you even really care what I've got going on? I mean, I know sometimes life over the last year, maybe the majority of your life, just beat you up. And you're just wondering if God really even cares. Our passage today is showing us that he does. Mary is distracted by Jesus' words. Martha is distracted and disgruntled. And Jesus is kind and gentle. Well, look back at verses 41 and 42 with me. It says, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. He says, Martha, Martha. This is an expression of intimacy. This is like skin tingling, gut feeling. I love you. I mean, that's the best way that I can sum this up to you. Jesus is looking Martha right in the eyes. He's just saying, I love you. Martha, I love you. Even though she's acting foolish and bosses Jesus around, he responds with love. Even though Martha's distracted with her actions, he's looking at her and just says, I love you. Even though she's slipped into thinking that following Jesus is about what she should and shouldn't do, even though she's trying to perform, he just stops her. Martha, Martha, I love you. Man, I just want to say, if you don't believe in Jesus today or you feel like he's distant from you, it's probably because someone has falsely led you to believe that following Jesus is about your actions, that it's first about your actions. But you see, Jesus is telling us today not to get caught up in our actions or to get caught up in things. If you're going to get distracted by something, get distracted by Jesus' words. I love you. Be totally caught up in what he's done for you and what he's made you to be. Man, it's so natural for us to slip back into looking at ourselves and to want to perform. But it's not about us. It's about what Jesus has done. If you still have your Bible open, if you look at the first part of chapter 10, you notice those 72 that Jesus sent out to share the gospel. They come back in chapter 10, verse 17, and they're stoked about what's happened when they went out to share the gospel. And they say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. I mean, I guess they saw like some crazy stuff happening. But in verse 20, Jesus responds to them and teaches them not to rejoice in what they've apparently been doing, but to rejoice in what God's been doing. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven is what it says. Don't rejoice in what you've been doing, even if it's been in my name. Rejoice in what God has done. This is a thread through all of Scripture that helps us understand our passage today, looking at Mary and Martha, that Jesus has come. He's entered in. And despite our attempts to replace him with other things, he invites us to sit at his feet, to listen to him, to worship him. That though we were far off from him, he entered in, dying for us on the cross so that we could be in relationship with him. Our names written in heaven. Man. You don't become a follower by good deeds or by looking a certain way, by having a button-down shirt. It's by faith. Read with me in Romans chapter 10. It'll be on the screens. Starting in verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins. Believe that in your heart. Confess it with your mouth, and you'll be saved. If that's what your confession is today, even for the first time, you can start a relationship with Jesus Christ. With your heart, one believes and is justified. But Martha's heart, right? It's busy. She set herself up with the expectation that by doing good work, by doing good things, that she would be satisfied. But instead, she gets really ticked off. And Jesus says to her, he says to us, hey, I love you. Man, I'm thankful for what you're doing, but you're getting distracted by all these things. You're getting distracted. You don't need to prove yourself by climbing, you know, the career ladder. You don't need to prove yourself by being a good mom. You don't need to prove yourself by how much you serve. You don't need to portray a certain image to be accepted. He says that Mary's made the better choice. She's chosen to listen to his words. Because his words bring life. His words never return empty. And Jesus wanted their company more than he wanted their service. Martha gets so distracted with doing things that while serving Christ, her attitude grows sour. And as I've been reading this passage over and over again for the past several weeks, I've been noticing areas in my life where I realized I started to just get kind of frustrated with stuff and other people. And I asked myself, like, man, why am I getting in such a poor mood? Like, why am I getting in a poor mood with other people and in a poor mood with Christ? And I realized because I can tend to slip into a performance mindset, right? I want to perform, and it sucks the joy out of serving. And we start to make ourselves dissatisfied. We can get dissatisfied with others and with Jesus and with ourselves. We start to think we know better than other people and what they should be doing, like that person should be serving more. I know what God should be doing in this instance. Now, how would you know if you tend to lean towards performance? Just stop and ask yourself this. As God thinks of you right now, what is the look on his face? As God looks at you right now, what is the look on his face? Is he indifferent? Is he angry? Does he want you to clean yourself up? He's not even looking at you because he's embarrassed. If you imagine God as anything other than satisfied because of what Jesus has done for you, you lean towards wanting to perform. But the truth of the gospel is because of what Jesus has done on the cross, you are accepted by God, and he is deeply in love with you. When we want to perform, when we slip into false feelings of guilt because we think we should read more or pray more, that's when we take the joy out of following Jesus. That's when we actually belittle the gospel because we can't perform to impress God, but we can trust in him. First things first, Jesus is concerned about who you're spending time with and if you're spending time with him. He's concerned much more with you being with him and who he's made you to be rather than what you're doing. You know, if we want to be a church that advances the gospel, we first have to be a church that desires to spend time sitting at Jesus' feet. And before we can be like Jesus, we have to be with him. Before we can serve him, we have to worship him. Before we can love others, we have to truly experience this love of Christ that he has for us. Martha, distracted by all the wrong stuff. Mary, distracted with Jesus' words. At Jesus' feet, she's cherished, she's loved, she's forgiven, she's free. Mary knew that she was already approved of by God, by faith. So she was able to rest and just go sit at his feet. She could stop and listen to his words and then go out to share the goodness of who Jesus is with others. Jesus is gentle and clear. He wants to be with you. He's looking at you today. I love you. I want to invite you today, and for the rest of your life, put your trust in Jesus. Put first things first. Sit and listen to his words. He loves you. Let's pray together. Jesus, how good you are to us. God, I pray that if any of us are feeling guilty in this time about our time being away from you and not putting first things first and listening to you, God, I pray that those feelings of guilt would just go away, because we know that by faith in you, we're totally approved of, that you look at us and you just love us because of our trust in you, God. God, we're so thankful for how you don't change. We're so thankful for your written word, that you speak to us and that we can go to you at any time in prayer. Lord, would you reveal to us the things that we prioritize in our lives that are that we shouldn't prioritize over you, God. God, thanks for your forgiveness. And we love you and we need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.